I want to just preface this by saying, if you were to look in your study Bible on the verses that we're about to read today, you are likely to have very little notes on what we're about to read, because there's not a lot to really be said, because it kind of is self-explanatory. If you ever read a part of Scripture, you're like, oh, where's the notes? This is good. And then there's no notes. If you have a Fire Bible this morning and you open it, you'll see Philippians chapter 2, 19 through 30. There are no notes for this section of Scripture because it's pretty plain and clear. But I believe that it holds truth, and we are going through the book of Philippians, and I believe that there's something that we can grab from all parts of Scripture, and I just want to speak to the truth of what we see take place in today's Scripture. And so I'd like you to show me by a show of hands this morning, whether privately or publicly, how many of us like to know when we've done a good job. Just about everybody in here raised their hand. And so I think that we can all start in agreement that being recognized for your good work and your effort is appreciated. Right? And it is also important when you're talking team, when you're looking at work, if you look at a work environment or a church environment, as we work together, we serve together, it's also important for morals, for unity, and for partnership. While it's good to hear the recognition of our own efforts, how many can testify that it's important that we also recognize the efforts, the sacrifice, and the service of others who are in the church or at work, right? We call that honor. We want to honor those that serve. So as we continue this morning in our journey through Philippians, we're about halfway through, we see that Paul praises, he recognizes, and he honors both Timothy and Epaphroditus. Don't give your kid that name. It's hard, okay? For their Christian service, he praises them, he recognizes them, and he honors them for their Christian service. We, the church, are also called to the same type of Christian service that we're about to see that Timothy and Epaphroditus were involved in. So if you have your Bible with you this morning, and I certainly hope that you do. If not, you know, I just realized I haven't given candy out for quite some time for bringing Bibles, have I? So maybe you should bring your Bible next week. That's all I'm going to say. If not, find yourself a neighbor that you can look on their Bible with. Would you open your Bible this morning to the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 19 through 30. You can also look at the screen, as I will have it up there as we read this morning. I read from the English Standard Version, just so everybody is aware. It says this, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with the father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all, and has been distressed because you have heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. See, in this section of Scripture, what we see take place here is Paul is recognizing and he is praising Timothy and Epaphroditus' efforts as Christian servants of the gospel. So when he commends Timothy, he highlights a few things. He highlights Timothy's genuine concern and welfare of the Philippians. He commends his selflessness and his proven character in the gospel work. See, Timothy's faithfulness is exemplary, and Paul's high regard for him serves as a model for all believers. And that is to show honor, to recognize. Then we can look at Paul's commendation of Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus is described as a brother, a co-worker, and a fellow soldier in the gospel. And it reflects his deep commitment to the work of Christ, and even his willingness to risk his life. See, Epaphroditus' near-death experience while serving Paul underscores his dedication and his selflessness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think it's important to understand, and we've talked about this before, Paul could not have done the work without them. Paul was in chains. He was in house arrest. He was not able to go about. So Paul could not have done the work without Timothy and Epaphroditus and others. And this shows us the importance of being a servant and being one who surrounds yourself with fellow servants. That's huge. We should note here that Timothy and Epaphroditus had some specific characteristics that deserve recognition and honor as faithful, dedicated servants. Their example for us today of Christian service is something that each and every one of us should strive to do also as fellow workers of Jesus. Here's a few of those. The first one is a genuine concern for others. See, both Timothy and Epaphroditus, they exhibit a deep, genuine concern for the well-being of others. So in their service of the gospel, they have a deep, genuine concern for the well-being of others. Timothy cared for the Philippians as Paul did, and Epaphroditus was distressed. He was concerned over the Philippians' worry about his health. Doesn't say Epaphroditus was worried about his health. He was worried about the Philippians' worry about his health. So they had a deep and genuine concern for others. And this points us to Galatians 6:2. And it says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. This teaches us what it is to have a genuine concern for others, is that we share in carrying the burden of others. And in this, you will fulfill the law of Christ. The second thing that they exhibit for character is selflessness and sacrifice. We've already kind of touched on this, but both men exemplified selflessness. Timothy set aside his interest for the sake of Christ's work. So he gave it all to fulfill what Christ was calling him to do. While Epaphroditus risked his life to serve Paul and the Philippians. So Epaphroditus was sent by the Philippians to Paul, because Paul says, your messenger came to me. And so Epaphroditus almost gave his life in service of Paul and the Philippians. And this points us to Romans 12:1. And it says this, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. My question for all of us here today is, at what cost are we willing to sacrifice ourselves for the kingdom of God? What time are we willing to sacrifice? What wants? What needs? Whatever it is, what are we willing to sacrifice? Are we willing to sacrifice even our own bodies, if it were, to serve the kingdom of God? The third characteristic I want to point out is their faithfulness in service. Faithfulness in service. Timothy and Epaphroditus were both faithful in their service. Timothy had proven his character through his work with Paul, And Epaphroditus, he fulfilled his mission despite his illness. Despite being sick, he was able to fulfill his mission. And this points us to Matthew 25, verse 21. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Now, what I want to point to is the "well done, good and faithful servant." You have been faithful with a few things. No matter our circumstances, we cannot abandon or we cannot stop being faithful in our service. No matter what family situation we have going on, no matter what time constraints, no matter what financial constraints we have, we cannot let that stop us from being faithful in what God has called and asked us to do. With the first one that every single one of us who are living, breathing Christ followers in here today share. You ready? It's going to be profound. The Great Commission. What's the Great Commission? Go therefore. You know what? Go therefore and... There we go. Thank you, Joel. To go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. To make disciples. That means we are going and we are sharing the gospel message. And so, while each one of us may have a call to focus on this or focus on that, let me tell you that everything that God calls us to do should point us back to what? The Great Commission. And that is to tell others about Jesus Christ. So these characteristics of Timothy and Epaphroditus are a great example for us today. They show us how we can do similar things by having the same resolve that they had. And Paul also teaches us something important in the Scripture, in this section of Scripture that I think is maybe missed. And it's that Paul knew the importance of honoring those who served. Paul took time in this letter to call out the things that Timothy and Epaphroditus had done in service to the gospel, to him, and for the Philippians. He knew the importance of honoring those who served. Paul also understood the impact that it had on the body of Christ to honor. And today that's what I want to focus on a little bit, is honor and honoring those who have the characteristics of Christian service that we see that Timothy and Epaphroditus had. See, Paul instructs the Philippians to welcome Epaphroditus and to honor people like him. This is an instruction that Paul gives, but it underscores the importance of recognizing and supporting those who serve faithfully. See, recognizing and supporting Christian service inspires and it encourages others to serve, both in the church of that day and in our church today. Well, how? How does recognizing, because when they see somebody that they maybe relate to, look up to, doing something that they thought they couldn't do, maybe seeing them recognized, seeing them honor brought to that situation and seeing how they respond and how they carry themselves, that's easy to go have a conversation with them, and the next thing you know, that person could be serving in the church. If you want an example, when it snows this winter, come watch me shovel snow. And then feel free to grab a shovel and help shovel snow. I tried to be funny with that. But I think there's some serious points here that we need to recognize, that the way we carry ourselves as servants in the body of Christ impacts others' perception of the body of Christ and service in the body of Christ. If all we do is complain, "Oh, I've got to serve again this Sunday, I don't want to..." Who wants to serve with you? "I get to serve in the church today. I get to serve Christ. I get to serve the body of Christ." That's somebody you want to serve with. If you had a Debbie Downer on your team, Sorry if your name's Debbie. Deb's not here, so. Deb, if you listen to this on the recording, I am not talking about you. If you want to be a Debbie Downer, it's hard to bring people along with you. Right? So let's be excited, because yes, we're sacrificing our time, we're giving of ourselves, we're giving of our precious time with family. Guys, I get all of that, but you are coming to serve the body of Christ. You are serving Christ. Who knows that that's what we're going to do in the new heaven and new earth? We just talked about it this morning in Sunday school. We're going to worship Him, we're going to serve Him as King one day. Let's get good at serving while we're here in the church today. Because we're going to do it in eternity. We don't get to say, nope, not today, Lord. It's going to be, thank you for choosing me today, Lord. Thank you that I get to serve you today. How many of us woke up with that excitement to come and serve in the body of Christ this morning? I'm not going to raise my hand either, because if I'm being quite honest, I was tired when I woke up this morning. But I believe that the Lord has something for us. And this message might be the most simple message that we've heard. And why is Mike preaching on this? We've talked about Christian service. Listen, Christian service is what advances the church. If you're coming for a show, you're in the wrong place. Because I am not a showman. Okay? Have you ever seen the movie The Greatest Showman? I am not he. You will be greatly disappointed if that's what you're showing up for. However, what you are showing up for is to see all the faithful followers of Christ serving and giving of their time to make sure the body of Christ does not go without. And that's huge. And I think that it's important to highlight that. So recognizing and supporting Christian service inspires and encourages others to serve, both in the church of that day, but also in our church today. And that comes Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds through our honoring and our recognizing and our own Christian service. We can encourage others to step into that. We can encourage others to start in their Christian service. Paul's commendation of Timothy and Epaphroditus serves as a model for us today, for us to follow. We are called to honor those who serve faithfully in the church, to recognize their sacrifices, and to also support their efforts. And listen, I believe this now more than ever, we have a real opportunity here in Engaged Church to honor and to encourage Christian service. See, when we recognize and when we honor Christian service within the church, we show that we value that person. We appreciate that individual and the work that they give of the church, to the body of Christ. And Christian service is a vital aspect of a follower of Christ's life. Listen, if we are a follower of Jesus, it is vital that we find ourselves in some type of Christian service. Why? Because it points people to Christ. It just does. It's important to have greeters. You know why? Because you are the first person that people see when they walk into the church. And how you greet them is going to determine how that person's rest of their day at church goes. Because you're the first point of contact. When you walk into a car dealership, PJ, I used to do it for years, the first thing you want to do is smile and greet that customer, is it not? If you walk in, I hate it when I walk into a showroom and I'm looking at something and I have people ignore me. I hate it. Because I did sales for 16 years of my life. I want people to treat me the same way that I treat them. But I want them to have a good experience, and I want their first thought, which wasn't always the case, that I was somebody they wanted to work with. Now, as Clay Carricker said, there's a seat for every seat. And there's a salesperson for every person. Sometimes you just got to find the right match. But the first encounter tells a lot about how the experience is going to be. And so if we have a sour face, we had a bad night last night, we had a fight with our spouse on the way to church this morning, and they see us all sullen and sunk and grumpy, what do you think that tells them about our church? Right? What about worship? The importance of having individuals who are passionate about worship to lead us in. If we can't be passionate about worshiping our King, how can we expect those who come into our church wanting to experience that to be able to worship the King the same way that we would want them to if we can't lead them down that path? What about quality preaching? Sometimes you don't have it up here. I get it. I you know, not every day is my best day. But if we just have humdrum, I don't care, I'm just here. There's some pastors that just pull out a message from, there's all kinds of resources that if I never wanted to write my own sermon, I wouldn't have to. But then I would beg, where is the Holy Spirit's leading in that? How is He teaching us and challenging me as your pastor to challenge you as the flock that He has called to go and do the Great Commission? If I don't take any ounce of pride in what I'm doing, what message does that send to those coming in? This is a church on its way out. Right? And I don't believe that about this church. I don't believe it for a second. So service is vital for every follower of Jesus, every member of this church. If you are alive and breathing in this church today, you have a role to play in Christian service. We are all called to serve. We are all called to serve. So let's create a culture in this body. Listen, let's create a culture in this body that where we don't wait for me, the pastor, who is flawed and fails sometime, to recognize and honor those who serve. Instead, let's do this. Let us all take time to recognize and honor those at every level of leadership and every honor or every level of service. So what does that mean for you? When you come in to shake the hand of the greeter, tell the greeter, I just so appreciate you being the first face I get to see when I walk in here today. What about telling our worship team, great job leading us this morning. Thank you for being willing to sing and put yourself out there to lead us in worship to the King this morning. What about Norm on the soundboard? Norm, thank you so much for giving of your time to make sure that the volume is adjusted properly, or when Arvin does it, or when Crystal comes and she meticulously pours all the communion and gets it ready. It doesn't just happen. People have to do it. So what if we took time to just call out those small things and honor people? We all raised our hands at the beginning of service. How many of us like, whether publicly or privately, to be recognized for a job well done? Everybody raised their hand. Burnout happens because people don't get recognized. So let's start recognizing each other. Can we create that culture in this church? I believe it's important if we're going to continue on and continue to grow and bring more people into this church, because it is so important to recognize, to honor, and to support those who dedicate themselves serving the body of Christ. By doing this, if we agree to this, and if we start to put it into practice, I'm not going to stand over your shoulder and say, Nicole, who did you honor today? Who did you say good job to today, Emma? I'm not going to do it. Because I can't do that. But if we do this, here's what happens. We are spurring them on in their work by encouraging them. We are spurring them on. We are lifting their spirits up by acknowledging them. And we are encouraging them to continue in their work because they know they are seen and they are appreciated. How much is your better is your job performance when your boss says, hey, good job. Here's your quarterly review. You did a great job. Right? Maybe you don't get reviews. Maybe it's just, you know, maybe you're a self-employed farmer who's retired now. But yeah, if we can get our hand back there to our shoulder and say, good job today, Arvin. It is good to be seen and appreciated. It just is. God wired us that way. Do you understand that this morning? He wired us to love and appreciate and to encourage one another, and for us to receive that. So we can do this through several different avenues. So we can create this culture by a few things here, okay? You can get out your pen and you can write these down. The first thing we can do is we can pray for those who serve, or we can pray with those who serve. It's okay to stop at the door and pray with the greeter. Lord, I'm just so thankful for Christy. Lord, would you bless her for being here this morning, for greeting us, for smiling at us as we came in the door this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you think the Lord doesn't receive that? He absolutely does. Christy, I'm sorry for putting you on the spot, but what would that mean for you if somebody did that? That says it right there, a smile on my face all day. So we can pray with them, we can pray for them. We could share encouraging words with them. What does that look like? I don't know. Compliment their shoes, their hair, their smile. Job well done at whatever event they were just at or something they did. Encourage them. Share encouraging words with them. We could also provide tangible support. Well, what does that mean? Anything that's tangible. If we can support them in any way, let us find ways to tangibly support them. And then finally, we can honor their contributions to the church. We can bring honor and recognition to what they do for the church of Christ, for engaged church, for the body of Christ. But let's also do this. Let's also create a culture where everyone is serving in some regard. What if, just going out on a limb here, what if everybody present here today, and I think a majority of us are, but what if every single one of us today found a way to serve the church? That means eventually more people have to come in because we need people to serve. Right? So let's be a church that serves and serves and serves. As more and more people come and call this church their home, we will be living examples because we will already have a culture that is created here of Christian service. We'll be an example of what it is to be a servant of Christ, a servant of the body of Christ. We will be a church that recognizes Christian service. So we recognize those who serve the body. And we will also be a church that has a culture of honoring those who serve. And guess what all of that does? It inspires more individuals to serve the body of Christ. What a problem to have. Too many serving and not enough jobs to serve. I pray and hope that that is something we experience at some point in time here at Engaged Church. And I believe that the Lord has it coming. So, this morning I want you to reflect on your commitment to service. I want you to reflect on what your service is in the church, but take time to reflect on Timothy and Epaphroditus' service and look at how they served and ask yourself how you can model that same dedication and faithfulness in your life. If you aren't serving, let's get you started. Somewhere. Let me help you find where to get you plugged in. Because I promise you, God did not bring you to this church to just sit and watch. He brought you because there you are a part of the body that is required. The eye cannot smell, the nose cannot see. So yes, I'm calling some of you a nose and some of you an eye. We need you this morning. We all need you. We need to serve in the body of Christ. But more than that, let us reflect on the ultimate example of Christian service, our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate example. Jesus said that he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to serve us. And Jesus' life and death are the ultimate expressions of selfless love and Christian service. See, Jesus, he humbled himself as described in weeks prior. So if we were to turn back in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, this was a couple weeks ago, it says this, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So it is through the sacrifice of Jesus that provided a way for us to be reconciled with God. That is the ultimate act of service. He resurrected from the dead. That assures us of eternal life. This morning we talked about the new heavens and new earth and what that's going to be like, that Jesus has gone away to prepare a place for us. And there comes a day, he says, that when it's ready, I will come back and gather you. I'm excited for that. Right? I'm ready for Jesus to come. However, while I'm ready, I'm also ready to make sure that 3.8 billion people have heard the name of Jesus Christ. That is the value that they estimate today of people alive who have never heard the name of Jesus. 3.8 billion people. Can you wrap your head around that this morning? The gospel message is the foundation of our faith, and it's the ultimate example of sacrificial, genuine concern and service and love to the body of Christ. Now, in a minute, we'll have the opportunity to respond to that message, that gospel message. But before we go there, today I want to honor those who serve. You raised your hand for publicly, right? You were publicly or privately, but what you didn't know is you're in public right now, and you raised your hand. So I want to honor those who serve. So if you serve in any ministry or any aspect of service in the church, to the church, would you please stand this morning? That's about 99% of those who are here today. And so with that, because we're going to honor each other, we're honoring you, but you're also going to honor others. Can we have a round of applause for those who serve the body of Christ this morning? And let me just further say, none of this can be done without you. If it's just me here, this is sloppy, okay? I forgot to turn the lights on the stage this morning. I forgot my microphone. I was running back during worship to grab my microphone because I forgot all about it. I've been on vacation. I don't know what I'm supposed to do when I get back, I guess. I don't know. But I was not prepared. As a normal, first thing I do is I come in, I get all the lights turned on, I get the AC, make sure it's cool in here. Rochelle's done a great job of making sure it's at least 72 when we get here in the morning. That's where it's at right now, so praise the Lord that we don't have icicles coming out of our noses this morning. But without people who come and clean or run our worship set, Stacy sent me the worship set list at 11 o'clock on Wednesday night. At 11 o'clock at night, she's sitting on her piano at home playing through the set list for Sunday. Sacrifice. I mean, yeah, I'm not trying to just call out Stacy, but then we have, so like while we're talking about honoring, Terry texts me, and I forgot to announce it during announcement. So great time, because we're talking about honoring. You guys can grab a seat. I'm sorry to make you stand here. I just thought you all were excited like I am. So Terry is working on being able to do our free garage sale that happens. And so far she's had 10 people sign up. We need a minimum of 15 to be able to proceed with the event based off of the hours that she has put together. And so I need you to go see Terry. If you're willing to work double or triple what you signed up for, let her know. But we need at least 5 more people or a couple of people to donate more of their time to be able to make sure this event will take place. And so she is ready to make an announcement on whether or not we proceed next Sunday, correct? So, guys, it's important that we serve and we serve the body of Christ. Listen, engaging our community for Jesus means we serve in the body of Christ, for the body of Christ, for the good of those outside of the body of Christ. The fact that it's dead silent after I say that. So as we honor and as we support those, listen, from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate and I love every single one of you. And without you being willing to give of your time and your talents to the church, our church is not what it is today. Most churches are known by their name, or an event that takes place, or their pastor. Very few churches are known for their servants. And I would like to change that, because I would like you guys to be the most important thing that the community sees. Because without people like you, it doesn't happen. So thank you. Thank you. So as we start this culture of honor, where we honor and support those who serve among us, let us forever be mindful of the perfect example that Jesus gave us in his sacrifice for us. And you should know today, whether you're in nursery or you're teaching a Sunday school class, or maybe you're showing up to make coffee. Listen, coffee is important, okay? Coffee is so crucial. Your role in the church is crucial. Having people willing to serve in things that maybe they're not perfectly called to says a lot about their willingness to make sure that the ministry of the church continues on. Your role in the church is crucial. So let us strive to express the same dedication and humility in our own walk with Christ. Let's make sure that we are reflecting His love and His grace in everything that we do. Because engaging, Stacey, you can come on up, engaging our community for Jesus, it starts by serving, it starts by recognizing, and it starts by honoring Christian service. So this morning, I hope that you are encouraged. I hope that you are challenged. I hope that God has laid something on your heart. I don't believe I'm preaching this message just to hear myself talk. I believe that the Lord is calling us to more and greater, because I fully believe, if you weren't here for our worship service on Friday night, I'm sorry that you missed it. It was an absolute tremendous time. We worshiped for an hour, and I don't know about anybody, it felt like 10 minutes to me. It was a powerful service where we just were able to come freely, worship the Lord, no agenda, nothing but just worship. And the worship leader that was here with us that night shared that the Lord put it on his heart as soon as he walked into our facility that God was ready to take our church further. That we are set up for it. Our facilities, we've done a great job. We got flowers everywhere. We look like we care about the facility. The cleanliness of the facility. Lord knows how hard Rochelle works to make sure this place stays clean. Thank you, Rochelle. But then let me also point that sometimes when I get all of these phone calls, Mike, I'm not going to be there this Sunday. Mike, can you help find stuff? It discourages me as a pastor. But do you know the most encouraging thing that just took place is when I asked if you serve in any aspect, almost the entire church stood up. It's an attitude check for me, Terry. To see everybody stand up and say, yeah, we're serving. We love this church. I know pastors that would kill to have that don't have that. And so when I tell you that God has something ready for this church, I stand firm on that promise that Nathan shared. Because I believe, listen, you guys remember clear back in January when I shared where I felt like the Lord was leading us this year. We've seen most of that take place. There's still more to come. There's still 4 months of the year left. Actually, 3.5, right? We're on day 230, I think, in our Bible reading plan. 140 days left of the year. Let that sink in for a moment. But God can do a whole lot in 140 days. So, I pray this morning that you are encouraged, that the Lord has spoken to you. And if He is calling you to do something, please do not say no to Him. If you want to stop the move of God, say no. This morning we read in 2 Kings, I'm completely off notes now, so you guys can just hang out with me here for a minute. We finished 2 Kings this morning, chapters 24 and 25 in our Bible reading plan. And the Lord says that I have sent messenger after messenger to call my people back to me, because I am a compassionate God. I gave them every opportunity to turn back. But because they've chosen not to, this now happens. Don't say no to the Lord. Don't say no to the Lord this morning. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads this morning? Church, we have the amazing opportunity to respond to the gospel message, to respond to Jesus who died on the cross and rose again for our sins, that we would be forgiven and reconciled back to God through Jesus. The first and most important thing today in our first step of Christian service is to ensure that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So this morning, if you're here and you've never accepted this gift of salvation, I invite you to do so today. I invite you to embrace the love and forgiveness that He offers. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouth that He is Lord, and we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, what does the Bible say? Do this and you will be saved. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life with Jesus in heaven, in the new heavens and the new earth. Eternity with Jesus. So whether this is your very first time, you've never asked Jesus into your life to just submit yourself to Him, or this is in a fresh way, you've made decisions, but it's time to get back. It's time to take it serious. Jesus is waiting for you. That is the greatest promise that we have. Jesus is waiting for us. He is waiting for us to turn back to Him and allow Him to change our lives. Listen, His love and His power, they have the ultimate power to transform our lives. So this morning, if that's you, would you please just raise your hand where you're at? Church, here's how we end today. And I don't want to make this anything other than we're being obedient to what the Lord is asking us to do. If we go and we say, boss, what can I do? And the boss gives us something to do and we say no, we haven't put ourselves in a very good situation, have we? We're now in a predicament. And so as we progress here, I want us to be committed. I want us to actually desire to know the answer to this. So if you take part in as we close here, I hope that it is with the intention of hearing from God and to saying yes to what He's asking you to do. Because as we close, we get the chance to hear from God today. We get the chance to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us. Today we get to hear what God is asking us to do. We get to hear what He's asking us to do inside of the church and also outside of the church. We get to hear who He's asking us to love. We get to hear where He's asking us to go. And we get to hear how He's asking us to do it. We get an opportunity to say, Lord, what do You have for me? And then we get to listen. Then we can ask ourselves, am I doing it? I know that He's called me to this, but am I doing it now? If not, my question to you this morning is, will you make a decision today to commit to the Lord, that you are ready to do and ready to go where He is asking you? So as the worship team leads us this morning, will you take time to seek the Lord? The altars are open. I encourage you to come to the altars. When I tell you that my best time in the presence of God has been at the altar of this church, it is not a lie. But you don't have to come to the altar, but let me encourage you to. But as the worship team plays, we get to take time to seek God. We get to take time to allow Him to lead us to areas of Christian service, to being obedient to what He's calling us to. And we get to commit to Him today to live a life of honoring and recognizing Christian servants around us. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we invite Your presence here. Lord, we ask that You would speak to each and every one of us here today, Lord. That this message, Lord, You would speak to the hearts, that You would encourage the hearts. Lord, that we have spurred one another on. Lord, the most encouraging thing to see is 99% of the church stand to say that we are serving in some capacity in this church. Lord, I am so thankful for each and every individual here. But Lord, we know You have more. We know You have more for this church and You want more for this church. And Lord, we want what You want. Lord, we have our own ideas of how things should be or how they should go back to or why they should be or shouldn't be. Lord, we want what You want. So Lord, this morning, as we take time to seek You, would You speak to us? Would You, Lord, lead us to where You would have us go? And would You help us to take that step of faith to do it? Father, we understand that You're sovereign over all situations. Lord, that You will work out the details to everything that You have asked us to do. We just have to be willing to say yes. So Lord, would You help us to have that boldness to say yes to You this morning? In Jesus' precious, holy, and matchless name, amen.
We're going to sing the song Available. And may this just be our prayer, that we would be following where the Spirit leads. That we would take time to hear the Lord's leading. That we would take time to say, yes, Lord, I'm available, whether it's inside these walls, outside of these walls. Lord, here I am. You can have it all. I just want to see You move.